You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew. See, this was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning a used me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink, I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the
monster. A very good product, yeah. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the home for it, the one and only, the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah. Boom. In the sake of clarity, I have to clarify. For the sake of clarity, I have to clarify something. So I was talking about, we were talking about swimming here recently. And articles that the Commandant was thinking about incorporating swim qual into cutting scores and then factoring that in for promotion, much like your PFT, CFT, yada, 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 yada. And that had been a subject during the summer. And when we talked about, well, I mean, in my case, it was an Osprey going into water, 23 of 26 Marines got out. And the question is, do we do enough of that kind of training for Marines going over the water? Then when we got into a discussion about throughput, Gunner came on and talked about, hey, you know, it's one of my pet peeves. We don't own the pools. We don't own them. Civilians own them. So we got into a discussion about that and about, you know, how much more you could do if Marines, in fact, own the pool. So the Commandant came on, talked to him about that. He said it would look into it. I then got an email from his PAO with the portion of this may swim qual may get factored into promotion, which is only a piece of it. Now, before the Commandant came on, Will Cosentini came on. And former OPSO and former CO OPSO, and among other things in his illustrious career. Anyway, we were talking about how many people actually go over the water, the number of other tasks you have, and how much time you have to devote to this out of a training cycle that is full of training events. Who needs it? And are we willing to say, look, the odds of you going into the water are infinitesimally small, and we're not going to train to that? So we had a discussion about that. So then the discussion turned to, so if we are serious about getting this kind of training, then what does that mean in terms of facilities? What does that mean, take the gunner's point, to who controls those facilities? Civilians that get there at 8 and leave at 4? Is that how that's going to be? They would have to, it would require a retooling of our organization. And in terms of the way we do aquatics, if you will. So And it's for the sake of clarity, when I was talking about that the other day, I only gave a partial thought. Okay, so while the Commandant's thought about including or putting more emphasis on swim qual is certainly, I think, appropriate, in particular for the people at the lower end of the swimming spectrum, right? Those are obviously, that is where your concern lies. And if you are that deficient, then there ought to be some attention focused to that. So I don't think that's inappropriate. However, the larger questions, I believe, are helo dunker training. How many helo dunkers are there? Who controls them? How much throughput? All of that kind of stuff. So anyway, so I think we got a partial answer on that. So I wanted to be clear about that. Because I'm talking to Constantine yesterday, and he tries to wire brush me. Now, because my pride is what it is, I take no shit from him, okay? And, but the truth is what it is. Speaking of the truth, the president, you know, literally, that guy can go from the penthouse to the shithouse in seconds. So what we have is he chairs a meeting on Tuesday that people say, hey, look, that was awesome, to include me. And it was. So a little bit of roundtable, blah, 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 blah. And then yesterday, and I don't know, is it a Bushido violation when you're sitting in a meeting to run outside of the meeting and say, hey, guess what he said? Is that a Bushido violation? But I don't think there's a Bushido code. The problem is I don't think there's a Bushido code for politicians, right? Elevator going down, right? They don't have any standards. It is politics. So, yeah, so he says, now, there would be those among us that would say, well, you know what, truth is defense and libel. Okay, think about that for a second. So, truth is defense in libel. So, like, I could say, let's see, I'm trying to think of an example that would be crass, or I just use his comments. He could say, well, technically, you know, if he did use Haiti, and I will use Island X. Technically, Island X is a shithole. Therefore, I didn't say anything wrong. I just spoke the truth. But, you know, again, among not all friends, talking about something, it just comes off as coarse, as stupid, as ridiculous, right? President of the United States saying that. And then all he does is he detracts from the progress that he makes. But you know what? This is Donald Trump. And as you've heard Gunnar and I say, were he to go away, in terms of the things we care about, there would be no change in national defense policy. There would be no change in immigration policy. There would be no change in, I don't believe, you know, the vice president, were he the president, he wouldn't change a whole lot in terms of policy. You would be without the tweeting and without the, I believe it's called addition by subtraction. So, were he not around? But he is. And I'll tell you what, as much as he does this, you have got to give him, I would say, high marks for the courage that he's shown and the disdain he's shown for convention. And so, and I think by and large, because of that, he has turned the economy around. He doesn't care about what the Beltway people say. He cares about what people on TV say, and he feels the need to respond to that. Oh my God! Someday John Kelly's gonna, or at least has will have the opportunity to write a pretty interesting book, I think. But again, there's no excuse for him, for the President of the United States, using that kind of language in a discussion like that. None. So, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. And that is him. So, I think the bigger news that was obscured yesterday was the Gang of Six, or as Nancy Pelosi calls them, the five white guys. She lost her mind or what? Every time I see some video of her, it's just, again, why do we not have age limits? At some point, go away, okay? I mean, and I'll tell you what, I love my grandma, all of them, right? And, you know, but when you get beyond 70, come on. You know, you're playing not on the back nine, you're playing on the 18th fairway. You know, maybe you're teeing off, maybe you're on the 17th tee, but you're at the end of it. And it's just crazy. You know, and then God forbid, like in your mid-80s, hey, boy. You know, another thing, I'm not a fan of Chuck Schumer either. I'm not a big fan of Mitch McConnell's either. Ryan, I'm not really. He looks better in a suit, but why does Chuck Schumer read written remarks every time I see him? Can he not simply have talking points on a paper? One, this, two, this, and then stand up and articulate them? Every time he's looking down, which means I have to look at his hair plugs. You know? Come on, Chuck. Help the rest of us out. Either get a teleprompter so you can look forward and we don't have to look at your hair plugs, or go ahead and go to a school for public speaking where you can put keywords which will then cue the appropriate verbiage underneath those. Or are you incapable of that? So, anyway. But, you know, the president gets a Jackass of the Day award because he obscures what some people were very encouraged about, which was a supposed agreement between this Gang of Six on immigration that they were then shopping around to others. And in spite of what he said on, Tuesday, that, hey, I will sign what you bring me. Evidently, he said in the meeting, I'm not supporting that. So, and so it goes, my friends, and so it goes. So that's in the news this morning. The other thing that I want to talk about before we even open the show is the, what would I call it? The hand-wringing, the consternation, the, what's the right word for it? The indignant reaction to the senior enlisted advisor of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Yeah, we know him as General Dunford. But anyway, he evidently, right, is talking to, I don't know, soldiers or Marines, and says, you know, he has his own little Mattis moment, right? Remember when, what did General Mattis say at the time? It's fun killing bad guys? Okay, regardless of the fact that it's true, this storm breaks out over, over this statement that will beat him. We'll kill him with our rifles. We'll kill him with our e-tools. Blah 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 blah. And so you're listening to. You're listening to people talk, comment about it. And you're watching it, and you're going, are you kidding me? So you got to, you get somebody who gets to take a look at behind the curtain, and they're aghast. And it makes you laugh, right? We're at war. We've been at war for a long time, and there's people today that are getting up, and their job is to go kill people. And that's what they're preparing to do today. Anyway, Army Sergeant Major John Wayne Troxell, who's a senior enlisted advisor to General Dunford, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said on Tuesday that the U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition is ready to annihilate the terror group. So there are only two options left to its members, surrender or die. Now, I'm not exactly sure the form for this. He said this in a tweet, because I'm looking at a tweet with him on it. ISIS needs to understand that the joint force is on orders to annihilate them. Annihilate's not a good thing, okay? Just for the record, when you look at tactical missions, annihilate, that's not... If somebody says we're going to annihilate you, that's not a good thing. Anyway... So they have two options. So they decide to come up against the United States, our allies and partners, surrender or die. If they surrender, we will safeguard them to their detainee facility cell, provide them chow, a cot, and due process. However, if they choose not to surrender, then we will kill them with extreme prejudice, whether that be through security force assistance, by dropping bombs on them, shooting them in the face, or beating them to death with our entrenching tools. Regardless, they cannot win. So they need to choose how it's going to be. Hashtag SEAC3. Hashtag defeat Daesh. Hashtag ISIS. _ surrender or die. So that was the tweet. So I'm not sure. So again, the amusing part is people. Oh my God! Right? The rest of us, we read it and like, yeah, boom, get after that shit. What did he say? Did he say something wrong? Did he offend somebody? Oh that. Oh, the rest of you just aren't comfortable with it. Oh yeah, we're sorry, but guess what? In those words, people do die. Yeah. Yeah, in Afghanistan, I think a Marine grabs a machine gun barrel. I think it was machine gun, PKM, I think it was. That got stuck around the corner. I think he was out of ammunition. Crushed the dude's head with the butt end of his own machine gun. Awarded Navy Cross. And so it's not a pretty picture, and we're really sorry that you had to look behind the curtain, and I'm sure it's upsetting to you, but you need to grow up, okay? And if you don't like it, right, then turn the page and walk away. But I can tell you this, for the people that this morning get up, point their nose towards the enemy and walk towards them, who don't write about them, who don't sit at home and work in a mall, who aren't lucky enough not to have their own mortality flash in front of their face on a regular basis, like a lot of other people, to those people, to that community, this is essentially just an affirmation of what they get up and do every day. So, again, I I'm not sure what kind of world we live in where you don't have to be accountable. I'm not sure what kind of world we live in where money doesn't matter. I'm not sure, and the truth doesn't matter. But all I know is I see more and more of it every day. And it's all enabled by a complicit media where the truth doesn't matter to them anymore. The only thing that matters to them is how many people are clicking on their website, right? That's what matters. And I'll tell you what, lately there's no, the worst case is ESPN. And you're going to say, ESPN, Mac? No. You know that guy, LeVar Ball? He's somebody's dad, right? And every time he belches, it gets above the fold coverage on ESPN. It's the stupidest. It's Kardashian. It's all the worst things in the world about our country. But that is the way the media works. It isn't about substance. It's certainly not about truth. It's about clicks. And it's pathetic. So anyway, on those two notes, yeah. Again, to everybody who's offended, we're really sorry that there's wars going on and that in those wars people get killed. It's terrible. Okay. But if you dial it back to September 11th, then you'll find your historical origin. If you cared to do a little reading, they're not going away. So as much as you want to end the wars and President Obama wanted to bring us home, it's coming to a theater near you. That is for sure. Because they won't stop until you make them stop. So I hate when reality gets in the way of this charade-like game that we play here in the United States where... You know, I'll tell you, the other video I want to comment on real quick before Whitney Houston joins us, is I want to comment on, there's video I saw of a woman who disrupted a school board meeting, and then when she was moved out of the meeting by a deputy, the whole world has gone hysterical. Yeah. And so as somebody who's been elected, let me tell you how that normally works. Now, maybe that deputy was too heavy-handed, and I can hear people saying, maybe? What do you mean, Mac? Well, let me tell you, first of all, so people speak at meetings, yes? Yes. Okay, people speak at meetings. You're recognized. You're allowed to speak. Okay? And then you've said your piece, the meeting moves on to other people that are speaking. Yes, everybody gets that. Okay. And so then you want to heckle the meeting from your seat so the meeting can't proceed. So you're essentially out of order. You're asked to be quiet. You've been recognized. You've had the floor. You've had your say. And now you go back to your seat and you continue to want to disrupt the meeting. Well, there's things that have to get done at the meeting, right? Public forum. It's a legal meeting. So after you've been asked probably a number of times to refrain from interrupting the meeting, somebody is then told to escort you out. Now, in the course of escorting you out, you decide that you don't like the way you're being handled. When I'm sure once you got to the door, if he would have said, ma'am, you need to leave, and she walked out, that would have been the end of it. Yes? Yes. And so then all of a sudden, something else happens. That isn't entirely on the deputy. But the little snippet of videotape that you see, it's like, oh, look at him. Oh, yeah. Well, what about every opportunity she had to get up and leave? And she decides not to do that. So to me, that's bothersome. The only person that brought that on was that woman. And as I would tell everybody, when the police ask you to do things and you don't do them, okay, it doesn't give them license to do carte blanche. But for you to be apprehended and taken to jail, hello. Welcome to the world that the rest of us live in. So, anyway, a lot of news. Let me read you a quick email. Max, seriously, Trump's episode of jackassery get old, and I agree with you. The nation, in terms of policy, wouldn't see a whole lot of difference between he and Vice President Pence. But the one thing I will say is Trump is fearless, in spite of his crassness, relative to our economy. Many people are like me who didn't like him, who didn't vote for him, but I will tell you what, my 401k is on steroids right now. That is real to me. So screw everything else. He is providing for my financial future. And if some of the prognosticators of the market are true, and this path can be sustained, and my 401k can recover some of the losses that I've had over the years, are you kidding me? I will forgive him just about anything, because he is providing for my retirement. Nobody else is doing that. Nobody else has even come close to that. So, in closing, his comments are ignorant. They were careless. He ought to know better after as many times as he has stepped in it. But for whatever reason, he doesn't. However, I will live with it, personally, because of the beauty of my 401k. That is real to me. So, his crassness be damned. The bottom line is the bottom line, and for me, it's my 401k. I didn't vote for him before. I will certainly vote for him for a second term. Semper Fidelis. Have a quality weekend. I do think Nancy Pelosi is around the bend. Enough said. All right, enough said. Whitney Houston, it is Friday. Sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to the senior enlisted advisor of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's right. That's right. John Wayne Troxell. Sorry the rest of you had to be exposed to the world that some of us have lived in, but it is what it is. Okay, I love this song, okay? And I love everything about it. And so for those of you who've never heard me talk about it, let me just redo this, because this is off somebody's iPad, okay? This is not all mic'd up and all this. This is off some parent's iPad. This is the day that my son Patrick was commissioned as a second lieutenant. A good friend of mine was a commissioning officer, Battle Buddy times three, David J. Furness. He's in Africa right now. And with me, another buddy named Chris Bronzy is standing next to me. My older son, who was a first lieutenant at the time, John was on the other side. The rest of my family there in the rotunda of the cathedral, otherwise known as the National Museum of the Marine Corps. So, but this is just motivated, newly minted second lieutenants fired up in the Valhalla of the Marine Corps, right? So, again, dedicated to a soldier today. Wow, who would have thought?
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Song is awesome. I had to check the temperatures. Because it's cloudy and 58 in Quantico. Yeah, boom, summer on the East Coast. I said, that can't be right. Yeah, so a sigh of relief on the East Coast. Cloudy and 67 at Camp Lejeune. It is partly sunny and 29 in Granbury, Texas. Yeah, northern plains, that's the southern plains, but in the northern plains, they're going down, sub-zero weather again. cloudy and 8 degrees above in Big Timber, Montana. In 29 Palms, sun and 49. Pendleton, clouds and 45. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 52. In Marja, that's in Afghanistan. Cloudy, dark, and 46 in Marja. The home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy and 50. Let me take a look at some headlines, and then our head chef's going to join us here for a little bit of Friday discussion. Now this Sergeant Major comments in my head, the stuff that people don't like to hear. I'm driving down the 405 in Southern California one day, and my daughter Colleen, who's now 14, this is probably a couple years ago, so she's probably about 12. And so we're driving, and I don't know why she asked it. I don't know what we were talking about, but she said, "Hey, Dad, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "When you guys kill guys, do you guys feel bad?" I said, "No." And she looked at me. I said, "We're happy." And she looked at me. I said, "They're bad. They're bad people. They kill innocent people. They kill little kids. They're bad." I said, "So we're happy. In fact, killing them is more fun." I said, "Than going to the water park." And she started laughing. She's like, "Dad." I said, "Oh, I'm not supposed to say that, huh?" I said, "It's the best, Colleen." I said, "Remember, they're trying to kill us, right? Who do you think killed all those people in New York City?" So, we're not supposed to say that. Not supposed to say that. It's uncivilized, right? And all the rest of that shit. But, so now it's kind of funny. When she sees some video of ISIS or something doing their craziness, she looks at me and she nods her head and says, "Water park." I said, "Yeah, they need to go to the water park, Colleen." But, it's something that, if you're smart, you don't talk about in public. General Mattis, when he said that, he was being candid. And the way we are with each other in a forum that doesn't tolerate that kind of honesty relative to your feelings from combat. You're not supposed to talk like that. Because, it offends the good people of the United States. Text message. "What's more offensive, you can keep your doctor or Haiti is a shithole?" Good question. What is more offensive? And again, I go back to, the email from a few minutes ago. He can say anything he wants. I look at my 401k and the fact that he's providing for my future. And again, there's much in the news this week. Walmart raises across the board. People given bonuses based on the tax thing. And then you have Democrats saying, "Oh, well, that's just a drop in the bucket." But, well, you know what? To hardworking people who haven't seen shit in a long time, that is the first glimpse of sunlight into an otherwise bleak horizon that they've had in forever. Which just goes to show you how out of touch, again, the Republicans and the Democrats are. And again, it's the reason why Donald Trump got elected, is the disconnect. And again, there's, in my opinion, there's three people that are emblematic of the, and again, I'm not as judgmental on Ryan, but I kind of am. But McConnell, Schumer, and Pelosi are the most disconnected, out-of-touch people in the world. You know, just absolutely disconnected. And again, if there's somebody that's tapping in to the American disconnect, it's none of them. It's the guy who's in the White House. And for all his crassness and whatnot, right, our economy has somehow or other started moving again. Oh, Barack Obama gets the credit for doing what? What did he do? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. And economic credit's hard to assign. I'll give that to you. But there's been one guy who's been who the markets responded to on election night. Okay? And as he's discussed deregulation, as he's expanded his program to deregulate across the board, as he's talked about renegotiating bilateral agreements, he's going to go to Davos and talk about equitable trade. And again, all that taps into the American worker and the American middle class. That's exactly what that taps into. So, again, his comments yesterday were stupid comments. And what I mean is he was stupid to make them because he allows his detractors and other people to seize on those, and then whatever progress he's made, you know, is unwound. But you know what? That will not slow him down. He will be at it again today, and he will push again today. And so the people that feel disconnected in this country, look at all the extraneous stuff, Haiti a shithole. You know what their comment was today? Well, isn't it a shithole? Now, I've never been to Haiti. I've been to the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican Republic is the nicer side of the island. And once you get out of Santo Domingo and the nice, you know, the nice cities that are paid for by resorts, it's not a third world country. It's a fourth world country. It's kids running around naked. You know, it's that stuff. Donkeys in the streets. I mean, so the people that feel disconnected that elected him, they don't care. They don't care. And for those that are indignant about it in Washington, D.C., the disconnected people don't care what you think anymore. And that is the way our country is. And then you have the media fight that goes on between Fox and CNN. So, it is what it is. All right, let me take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, I have some audio that I play on days like today, so stand by. You ready? Here's one of them.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this plane.
That's one of them. The other one is from. The other one is obviously.
You know what?
Why don't I have the 5-second version of You Can't Handle the Truth? I have the long version. What did I do with the short version?
Thanks, Danny. I love Washington.
Excuse me. I didn't dismiss you.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, the whole scene is awesome. Okay. The whole scene is emblematic of this discussion, which is, and again, the story is the truth of the story is, this story is based on an actual incident. The incident, the Marine got beat up. Okay. In the book, he's killed. Okay. And he gets beat up because his fellow Marines get sick of him. And they're getting punished for his sins. So, in a long-standing tradition in the Marine Corps known as the blanket party, the group expresses its sentiment. Anyway, but the disconnect here is between a world that the colonel lives in, Jack Nicholson, and this other world that is served by him, who disdains him. And I can't find the 5-second version of that, for God's sakes. And that's a problem because it's in my collection of stuff. And I don't feel like playing the 6-minute version of it. What I need is about... All right, hold on. I'll find it. The good thing about having your own show is that you can do whatever the hell you want to. And that's about what I'm doing. Pete Rose, Richard Nixon. I have some awesome audio in case you haven't heard it all. The I'll tell you some other great. I should play this. This is about 9 minutes. And this is Jeff Wigand, the whistleblower on the cigarette companies about their research. That's pretty interesting. This is the little
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb for 12 hours. When it was all over, I woke up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking big body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? A whole hill. It smells like victory.
Right? When you hear that, it's like, that dude's crazy, right? But if you talk to guys who are in Vietnam, you know what they tell you? No. He's right, man. That's what it smelled like. Because we fought him in the jungle. And what we would do is we'd bump into him on a hill. And the jungle would protect us. And we would bounce off him and move back. And then we would blast the hell out of him, right? Which would take all the vegetation and foliage down. And then we'd napalm them. Here it is. And then we'd napalm them. And then after we napalmed them, then we'd blast them again. And then we'd go up and kill the rest of them. That's how we fought. And that's what he's articulating. So, in keeping with today,
you want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Yeah, boom! One of the great lines of any movie of all time. So, let me do a few headlines here before we bring the chef on, and let me clear the deck of this kind of stuff. The, joining me right now is a, I'm not sure what this is about, but we'll find out. Joining me is Will Cosentini. You're live on the air, so be careful what you say.
Yeah, I always am. Oh, happy right. Friday to you. It's 8 degrees in Kansas City.
How many degrees?
8. Above zero.
Well, that's good, because you know, they can dial that thing down.
Yeah.
How about
a week and a half ago, it was 8 below.
How about wind? How are you doing on wind?
Wasn't bad today. Probably below 15. So
15, so that you're in like around 20 degrees below zero wind chill. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, the bitch is that yesterday driving to work, it was 45 and raining.
Yeah. And let me tell you, again, I've said it before, but.
You've been there.
Well, no, not that I've been there, but there's no place that has the swings than the Midwest of the United States. And the further north you go, the more it swings like that. So 45 and now 8 above. And if you go north, I know my friends in North Dakota, I think it's going to be, the high is going to be 9 below today. Yeah, that's the high. So, and the low 27 or something below like that. So, but in a week it'll be like 40 degrees. So crazy. Now, what can I do for you this morning?
Hey, I wanted to tell you about beating people to death and sort of the politically correct culture and just maybe open a window. So you alluded to Corporal Wooldridge, Navy Cross citation. And interestingly, when you read that now, I think the line goes something like, dropped his empty weapon, seized the machine gun barrel, overwhelmed the enemy fighter in hand-to-hand combat, killing him with several blows to the head with the enemy's own machine gun. So when that thing had found its way all the way up to the assistant commandant's office, that line about killing him with several blows to the head with the enemy's own machine gun,
yes,
was not in the citation. It was in the summary of action. And I was sitting there and immediately reflected on Second Lieutenant Bobo. And you remember that citation where his lower leg was blown off, so he jammed the bloody stump into the dirt and then proceeded to kill I don't know how many NVA. Right? So how can you have an event where the man beat the enemy to death with his own weapon and that doesn't make it into the citation? And so we rewrote it in the office. And I won't name the other two people that are in the office with me. They said, can we do that? I said, we work for the Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps. We can do whatever we want. And so we wrote it where we said he beat the enemy to death with his own machine gun. And then I went down to the hall CMC's office and up to the tech man's office, and they took beat to death out and turned it into killing him. So even within our own culture, there was oversensitivity to the actual truth of the matter. The idea that, well, we can't have those offending lines in a citation. I don't know. So when I saw the line about the Sergeant Major yesterday, it's refreshing, right?
No.
That's what we do.
Right.
And remember the day after September 11th. I wasn't here. I was in Egypt. But there was a cold fury that was rising in the country. And we've lost that fury. We've lost sense of who they are and who we are. And we're likable people. Americans like to be liked. We go around the world. We give things away. We're generous. We're welcoming. But when you cross the line, we should expose all of that raw fury just to let people know this is the giant that you don't want to wake up. But we lose that and we slip back in and we're afraid to talk about it. And even within our own culture, we're afraid to actually describe the event in cold, clear detail. And we do the people that died a disservice, and we do our country a disservice when we do that.
What Will Cosentini joined me, but and I remember because I think I was in Afghanistan when it happened, and we heard about it, right? And then you look for, you know, the SIG event, and it was pretty, you know, watered down, but there was enough of the right words in there that it communicated what had actually happened. And well, you can explain it better than I did, but tell people essentially what happened, and what's that corporal's last name?
Wooldridge. Corporal Wooldridge.
That's right. He just got out recently as a sergeant.
He got out as a staff sergeant recently.
Recently, yeah.
I mean, I never met the man.
Let me tell you, I've traded emails with him, and I said, you've got to come on All Marine Radio. And he said, I will, and then I haven't heard back from him. So I've been telling that his name came up, and tell everybody what happened.
So two parts of it. One's the administrivia and one's the event. The administrivia is, you know, an event happens and people write the award and there's a citation and then there's a 10-page summary of action that describes what it is. And the purpose of the awards is to enhance good order, morale, and discipline in the force, right? That's one of the things that awards do is recognize those things. And so it took, I don't know, two freaking years or something for that thing to get up, and it's got to go, I think Navy Cross goes to the SECNAV as a final recruiting authority. So all those awards come through the Assistant Commandant's office after they go through manpower, after they go through a headquarters Marine Corps awards board and a MEP awards board and a MAR-4 awards board and all that other stuff, and it got into me, and I read the citation, and I read the summary of action, and I said that citation doesn't actually describe the event, and how can we have a Marine, and when you read the citation now, they're on a patrol, comes under fire, they dismount, they maneuver, Wooldridge is carrying a saw, too bad he didn't have an IAR. So he leads his fire team, to flank the enemy, killing 8, scattering the rest. He's alone, security as his fire team gets back towards the vehicles. He hears voices next on the other side of the wall. He goes around the corner, kills two people, you know, right up front and personal, drives back behind the wall to reload, and the barrel of a machine gun sticks around the wall. So he's standing there with a saw trying to reload it. He drops the saw, grabs the barrel, wrestles the guy to the ground, eventually takes the machine gun away from him and beats him over the head till he kills him. Right? That's
welcome to our world.
And we want all Marines to have that in your head.
Right.
That's what happens. That's what you do. You see an event. You're trained. You take tactical advantage. You move to a position. You end it. You maintain your security. You boldly take initiative. And then when you think you're all out of options, your weapon's out of ammo, the enemy's got the drop on you, you are a dangerous man. And that's what you do. And if you have to beat that man to death, that's what you do. And how many times does it happen? I don't know. Not very often, obviously.
Yeah, not very often.
You don't read a lot of citations like this. But when it does happen, we shouldn't flinch. That's what we do.
We should celebrate it. In a culture of warriors, you celebrate that.
And again, I never met Corporal Wooldridge, but the idea that we were going to sanitize an event like that.
No, it's disgusting. It's disgusting, and then it's dismaying. It leaves your heart sad that we as a warrior culture can't celebrate our achievements in battle. And again, not embellishing, not making it more sensational as it is, but just this is what happened. We can't stand up and celebrate that and be proud of it, because it might offend somebody's sensibility.
And yeah, so, when I recommend everyone go and read this citation. And as I reread it now, I think in the main body of this citation, there's actually only one adjective that's boldly rushing around the corner. If I could rewrite that, I'd scratch the word boldly out, because the rest of it just delineates precisely what happened without any other language, because what happened is heroic. It affirms what we expect of junior Marines, junior NCOs, and it describes the world that we have to be prepared to excel in. And it doesn't need any fancy camera angle or any screenwriter language. It speaks for itself. In a way that, again, this gentleman, this is the world we live in. Don't expect you to do it every day, but you know what? Sometime it's going to come calling, and you have to do this for your unit. And you should have an expectation that you will do it. And we're going to train you, and we're going to push you, and we're going to challenge you. We're going to do that to ourselves, and that's why we're Marines.
Now, do you feel better?
Yeah, except you're still bullshit on swimming right now.
All right, I'll give you 60 seconds. All right, set the record straight on swimming.
The whole thing is the problem frame. What's the problem we're trying to solve? The problem we're trying to solve is we don't want people to drown when they hit the water in an aircraft accident. And we need to establish training standards that can do that. And I would suggest to you that those standards are impossible. And so when you're wasting time and you're in a zero sum environment, when it comes to time. And so that by taking time to do that, you're going to be less proficient in tasks that you can accomplish and that have a much higher likelihood of happening to you. And that is not, that won't make people feel good after the next time it happens. But this idea, if we swim better, look, the guys that crashed in that 46, and it must have been 15 years ago now, I think they all drowned except for maybe one. They were from First Recon. They're the best swimmers we got in the Marine Corps. Okay? When your helicopter hits the water in an uncontrolled fashion, God says you die. And if you don't, it's luck. Your particular skill, the idea that you went to the Hilo Dunker once 2 years ago, it's madness to spend time and effort on that when there's so many things that are likely to happen that we should prepare for.
And again, I don't disagree with that. Okay, what? Here's my point: is if that's my job, if I'm in the Hilo company, right? Not if I'm a clerk in the Mew that's going, you know, that's going to get on boats. But if that's my job, I ought to be trained for that eventuality. So
Mac, describe the standard.
Okay.
Right.
Well, no, I'm with.
What we have is we're putting a Band-Aid on a gaping, you know, open head wound because the Band-Aid looks good and makes us feel good, but it doesn't do anything. Show me the task, the condition, and the standard that we have to train to. Because we want to save X number of lives. What percentage of lives do we want to save? I don't know. How many do we lose in crashes a year? 10? Do we want to save all 10? Do we want to save 90%, 80%, 70%? Okay, you got to put standards against that. And then what the training is, and then what's the risk to the training? The first order risk is how many people are we going to hurt by doing that training? And if we do it to a standard of an uncontrolled helo crash at night, we're going to hurt a lot. The second part of it is, the second order effect is by taking time to do this, to accomplish this remarkably high standard, what are we going to give up somewhere else? And you can't just say, well, I expect millions to get to the pool. Bullshit. There's no time to do that. I would rather have Marines read a book, PT, shoot their weapon, do something like that that I can draw a much straighter line to value. All right? What we're trying to do is fix an emotional problem. Don't fix the emotional problem. Do the math on it. And then figure out, is it worth fixing? How can we fix it? And look, I'd love to be proven wrong on this. And then once we do all that math, then figure out how we get a message. But the idea that 150-something guys in the Hilo company, you're gonna, how many Hilo dunkers you gotta put them through? First of all, take your Mew, boat company, track company, Hilo company. Where are you gonna put all your best swimmers?
You have to put them on the water.
You gotta put them in the boat company.
But we don't pie up the companies like that though. You know, should we? Should we pie up the companies?
But in theory,
should we pie up?
If you have guys that are unks, they can't go in the dunker. So then they can't be in the Hilo company.
So then they got to go in the boats. That's awesome.
Where they're gonna be in the water. The Hilo company, you're not supposed to be in the water.
Yeah, I know.
The boat company, you're gonna be in the water.
I know, it just got worse. It just got worse. All right.
And listen, if we want to swim, no problem. But I'll tell you, ask anyone who went to the Naval Academy. You swim as part of phys ed every year. And it gets graded. I mean, it's not easy. And people that can't swim, because it's graded, they got to be able to pass. So what do? They take time after school. So anyone who's not a varsity athlete ends up losing any time they have after school to go learn how to swim better. And after 4 years, I don't think they flunk anybody out because they can't swim, but it takes a lot of effort for a lot of people. They have a program. It's a 4-year program to do it at the Naval Academy with reasonably intelligent, reasonably physically fit people. with a bunch of swimming pools and dedicated resources and time in schedules. Where are we going to do that in the Marine Corps?
I'm not prepared for this discussion. You're killing me.
I know you're not, but you were.
I was trying to broaden the lens on the comment I made the other day after you wire brushed me, and say that
I didn't wire. I've never wire brushed.
Oh my
if
God.
You need me to, we'll do that. You haven't seen the wire brush.
Really? Wow. All right. What would you call it? What would you call it? Your normal demeanor. Direct?
That's just my rational sort of cuddly self.
Rational and cuddly? All right. I'll accept that. All right. Anything else before you go?
No. Right. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. There you have it. He might be right. But the Marine Corps won't do it the way he wants it, the way he believes it ought to be done. More of a... Oh, boy. More of Almarine Radio coming up next.